Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You, of course, can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Appreciate you guys being here. It is Friday. That means we've officially made it to the Timber Rattlers game. Going to be throwing out the first pitch, doing a Q&A prior to the game. I think I get to do the Brazuca too, which is really fun, and I'm excited for that, but should be an absolute blast. I know a lot of you have reached out already that you're going to be going. Can't wait to meet all you guys, and if you haven't gotten tickets yet, you can still do so. I'm going to put the link in the description below, but still time to do that. Get out there, and I would love to meet as many of you as possible. So looking forward to that tonight. Meanwhile, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, David Feltz. Appreciate you signing up. We've got some stuff to discuss, though, specifically before we get to sort of our main topic, which is going to be scouting reports for some of the top 30 visits on the offensive side of the ball. Sunday, we'll do the defensive side of the ball. But Packers signed a player. They signed Andre Dillard. They signed one of my all-time draft crushes coming out of college in, what was that, the 2019 draft, if I remember correctly. That was the Rashawn Gary draft. That was the Darnell Savage draft. Yes, Andre Dillard was one of my favorite players in that draft class. I will own that one. I got that one wrong. Before we jump into the Andre Dillard signing, all right, I want to make this abundantly clear. Despite everything that I am about to say, I do, in fact, really like this signing for Green Bay, pending the contract. We don't know what the contract looks like yet. I think it's fairly safe to assume that this is very close to a vet minimum deal. I think it's safe to assume that there are probably very minimal guarantees in this deal. But until I know that for sure, that's the one caveat to this. If there's any sort of legitimate guaranteed money or any sort of legitimate, you know, big contract here, more than a vet minimum, then it's a little bit more iffy and I have some real questions to ask. But if this is a vet minimum, very minimal signing bonus type of deal, I am all in. I understand it. I like it. I get it. We'll discuss all of that. But there are some huge things that we need to discuss here. And as I mentioned, I was a massive Dillard fan coming out of college. There were a ton of positives on tape, specifically in pass protection. He looked, despite being very raw at the position, like he was already sort of getting a sense of being put on autopilot at left tackle, where not anyone was really getting past him. I liked his demeanor. Now, it was a little bit on the finesse side. There was no question about that whatsoever. He came from an offense that didn't ask him to do a ton. There was always going to be a transition into the NFL, but his tape was so fun. He rarely got beat in pass pro, and it just felt like this was going to be a player that came in, and despite maybe needing a little of, you know, transition time, that was going to become a long-term, you know, left tackle in the league. And what I thought at the time was going to be a very good pass protecting left tackle in the league. Always some questions about his run defense or run blocking, excuse me. Always some questions about whether he could play anything other than left tackle and sort of that, you know, the flexibility along the offensive line. Like I said, he came from an offense that was going to always take a transition, did have a little bit more of a finesse, you know, style of play, but overall, despite those question marks, like I said, I was very high on him. I thought Green Bay had the chance to go with him ahead of Rashawn Gary, and they had him in for a pre-draft visit. I thought once they traded up for Darnell Savage, remember he was still on the clock at that time, and then Dillard went the one pick later, right after Darnell Savage. And when they passed on him twice, as you can imagine, with me being a fan of him, I was not such a huge fan of the Packers at that point because I thought they were very much missing on a big-time tackle. And like I said, I will own that. I have learned from that. And that's sort of one of the great things about the draft process is everyone's going to make mistakes throughout that. And the real question is, can you learn from it? I think there's a lot of key takeaways from that Andre Dillard draft pick that you can sort of learn from. And all the things that I just mentioned, coming from an offense that didn't translate well to the NFL, being more of a finesse style player, not having the versatility along the offensive line, and, you know, just being a little bit more of a raw player, all those things added up to probably Dillard needing a lot more work than I think myself and certainly the Philadelphia Eagles when they drafted him expected when they selected him in the first round. And because he was a player that I liked so much, because he was one of my guys, I tracked his career extremely closely. I always love watching guys that I was a big fan of coming out, especially those first round guys, to see how their career progresses. A lot of them have gone on to great things. Some of them have gone on to poor things, like Andre Dillard. Such is life as a draft evaluator. You're going to get some right, you're going to get some wrong. Dillard was one I got wrong, but again, he was somebody that I paid very, very close attention to. As just a brief history lesson here on sort of the career for Dillard, as a rookie left tackle, he played 338 snaps. He was very averse to doing anything besides left tackle, did not want to go right tackle. That left tackle was sort of spoken for at the time. Also had some injury issues at that point and also in 2020. And, you know, he played fine in his rookie season for minimal snaps for a rookie. There wasn't this massive, massive concern quite yet, but there were already some warning signs. Let's just put it that way. He only played 34 snaps of right tackle as a rookie. Like I said, he was very against sort of playing there, so they mostly kept him at the left side. In 2020, he had a bunch of injury issues and did not play a single snap the entire season. And by that point, in 2021, once he got back from the injury, Jordan Mailata, who was the rugby player who just got a huge deal this offseason, rightfully so and deservedly so, who was a rookie in the same class as Andre Dillard, taken in the seventh round, where Dillard was a first rounder, by that point, by 2021, Mailata was already not only like moving ahead of Andre Dillard, but was lapping Andre Dillard by that point. In 2021, he played 337 snaps at left tackle. In 2022, he played 54 snaps at guard. It did not go well. He played four more snaps at left tackle, was not getting any better. And then despite that, despite the his rookie season, not playing much, 2020 missing due to injury, 2021 barely playing, and 22 not basically playing at all. In 2023, Andre Dillard gets a huge contract with the Tennessee Titans. They give him a legitimate chance. They give him a three-year, $29 million deal, up to $29 million deal, but they gave him $13 million guaranteed. $13 mil guaranteed for a guy that barely played in his first four seasons in the NFL, had injury issues, and could never secure any sort of starting spot with the Eagles. And the Titans paid him and thought that they could be the team that made something out of him. He was released after one season in Tennessee. The Titans gave him a legitimate chance. They played him 562 snaps at left tackle this past season, made him the starter, gave him 13 mil. This was the excerpt from the Tennessean when he was released. And I quote, Dillard started 10 games at left tackle in 2023, allowing a league-high 12 sacks, despite ranking 66th in the NFL in pass block snaps for a tackle. He allowed multiple sacks in four of his 10 starts, including three apiece in games against the Chargers and the Browns in the first month of the season, meaning he gave up three sacks against the Chargers and three sacks against the Browns. He was benched for poor performance twice, but returned to the starting lineup because of injuries on the front both times. This was another stat that was pointed out. That was the full quote from the Tennessean. Dillard ranked dead last out of 38 eligible tackles in pressure rate allowed in 2023. Dead freaking last. Here were his PFF grades overall. In 2019, had a 59.7 grade on 338 snaps. Again, not terrible. 60 is their average score, right? 2020, did not play. 2021 had a 69.6 grade on 340 snaps. So still limited snaps, but played a little bit better. In 2022, only played 58 snaps. Eagles were already basically losing interest in him as any sort of real legitimate player or prospect for them. Had a 58.3 grade on those 58 snaps. And then in 2023, with the Titans finally giving him that real legitimate chance as a starting left tackle, played his most snaps, 562, with a 51.0 grade. And again, the largest pressure rate allowed of any eligible tackle in 2023. If it makes you feel any worse, his run blocking grades were also not well. And just screw the grades. Go watch him. His run blocking was not good. His pass pro was not good. Also had five penalties this past year. The cold, hard, legitimate truth is he's just been a very poor NFL player at this point in his career. And again, it pains me to say that. If I just wanted to confirm my priors and be like, yes, this is it. He's going to come to Green Bay. He's finally going to live up to those expectations. All he needed was this opportunity in Green Bay. If that's how I felt, trust me, I would tell you that. I would look you in the eye and be like, I am super pumped because finally my guy is going to get a chance in Green Bay. It just, he's had those chances. He was a first round pick in Philly. He got a huge contract in Tennessee. Those chances were prevalent for him and he has not taken advantage of them. I would be very hesitant to say that he is going to be taking advantage of that chance in Green Bay, because that has not been what he has shown so far throughout his career. Now, when I pointed some of this stuff out, here were some of the reactions that I received on Twitter. Number one, the Packers can still develop Andre Dillard. Maybe. However, Dillard is 29 years old this season. He will be 29. We are not talking draft and develop at this point. We are talking a 29-year-old developed left tackle in this league who has never really developed. Now, I'm not saying the Packers can't find a way to pull a rabbit out of their hat. I'm not saying that they don't have good offensive line coaches. But if you are age 29 this season, you're not exactly in the developmental stage of your career anymore. And we can go back to Philadelphia. And I think this is a really important point to have here with Andre Dillard. You can point out that Andre Dillard coming out of college did not have a ton of experience in college and was still a very raw player at that point. The seventh round pick was a rugby player who never played football and was given all of the exact same chances that Andre Dillard was given. In fact, Dillard was given better chances because he was the first round pick. He was going to always get the benefit of the doubt and the better chances than what Jordan Mailata was as a seventh round rugby player. Yet, Jordan Mailata, as raw as he was, never playing the sport before, was able to come in and utilize the same coaching in Philadelphia and utilize their training facilities and everything that Dillard had at his disposal to completely annihilate Dillard and make him a complete afterthought, as Mailata's gone on to become one of the best left tackles in the NFL. So yes, we can say that there was some rawness there for Dillard and that maybe he needed a little bit of time to develop. The rugby player took that opportunity by the horns and completely lapped Andre Dillard with it, and it was not even close. Another person said, hey, he just needs a change of scenery. Yeah, that's what the Titans thought too. So much so that they gave him a huge guaranteed contract, and that did not go swimmingly, and they released him after one season. So yes, I'm sure Tennessee also saw, like, hey, maybe he just didn't get the right chance or the right opportunity in Philly. We can be the team that bring him in and actually make something out of him. It did not work out. He was the worst offensive tackle in football, and they released him after one season. A lot of people said, yeah, but now they're just going to move him to guard. Dillard is a tackle. He's always been a tackle. He's already listed as a tackle on the Packers roster. Not a tackle guard, not an offensive lineman. They could have been vague if they wanted to be vague. They could have just put O-line or tackle slash guard. They do that stuff all the time. He is a tackle. They listed him as a tackle. Philly tried him at guard for a little bit. That did not go well. I do not expect him to be a left guard. I don't expect him to be a right guard. I don't even really expect him to be a right tackle. I think he needs to be a left tackle, and I think that is his best fit. I'm sure they're going to rotate him around a little bit. I wouldn't be entirely shocked if they gave him a couple reps at guard, because they do that for everyone, but he is going to be a swing tackle at best if everything goes correctly. I do not see him making any transition to guard, and again, he's already listed as a tackle on the roster. All right, next up, Green Bay knows how to develop offensive linemen. That was a tweet that I got. They do, but so does Philly. They're one of the best at it. Jason Kelce, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, Landon Dickerson. We can go back a lot further than that. They have a huge track record of developing offensive linemen. And again, we can just go back to Jordan Mailata, a rugby player who they developed ahead of what Andre Dillard was able to do. Many of you, like myself, are Wisconsin sports fans. Well, it's not Packer season anymore. There's still some really exciting action coming up in the world of Wisconsin sports. The Bucks are getting ready to kick off their postseason run, which is hopefully a lot more fun than their regular season run. And while the Brewers, meanwhile, are off to a hot start, hopefully they can continue that to start their 2024 campaign. But whether you're a Bucks fan, a Brewers fan, or a fan of any other hockey, baseball, or basketball team right now, there's never been a better time to start playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and MLB entries today. Prize Picks is super simple to play, and I'm able to log in, make my picks, and submit my entry in under 60 seconds. Add in the ease of Apple Pay for quick deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of player selections, and injury insurance, and you can easily see why PrizePicks is America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going LeBron James and Steph Curry in their play-in tournaments. I can't wait to see what they do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Whatever picks you make, and regardless of who you select, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the PrizePicks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Another said, hey, now they don't need an offensive tackle, or they don't need to go first round offensive tackle in this draft. This changes absolutely nothing with what they will do in the draft. Yes, it's nice to have an extra depth piece and an option to play there if you absolutely need it. I can promise you, I can guarantee you that Goody is not making any draft decisions in this draft because they just signed Jordan, or it'd be great if they signed Jordan Mailata, because they signed Andre Dillard. There's no chance. He is going to go about this draft the exact same way that he would have, regardless of if Dillard was on the roster or not. Period. End of story. Because that contract is likely non-guaranteed, or at least very minimally guaranteed, and Dillard is going to have to earn his contract come training camp. He's not going to change his draft philosophy one iota. Now, then another person said, again, he just needs this opportunity. Again, the Eagles drafted him in the first round. Titans gave him a huge contract. He has had those opportunities. He has not made the most of it. Now, as Wes Hodd, smart as he is, pointed out, Goody has a tendency of doing this in the offseason. He signed Byron Bell, Billy Turner, Jared Valdir, Rick Wagner, Dennis Kelly, all, sort of veteran offensive linemen to be sort of this semi-insurance policy, or as an option as a veteran that maybe can come in and step in as needed. And overall, he's had pretty good luck with that list. Byron Bell was an unmitigated disaster. Turner was overpaid, but certainly, was a good player that helped Green Bay in a couple solid seasons. Valdir was a very solid, how do I want to define him? They didn't really need him a ton, but it was a smart move. And, he was obviously had a really nice career up until that point. That was just a smart insurance play by Goody. No problems with that. Rick Wagner had a really nice season in Green Bay, and that was a really good pickup for them. And Dennis Kelly was actually a pretty solid swing tackle for them as well. So he's had a propensity to do this. And outside of Byron Bell, it's worked out pretty darn well. Unfortunately, I would equate Andre Dillard closer to the Byron Bell side of things than to the Rick Wagner side of things. I do think there is some Dennis Kelly to this, and you're hoping that that's maybe a little bit more of what you get. But overall, you look at some of those players that have had success. Wagner and Valdir were very successful, at least successful tackles in the NFL prior to signing. Again, Dillard has had no real sign of that whatsoever. The one thing I will say is the Packers pro personnel department deserves the benefit of the doubt. We talked about the offensive tackles. Rasul Douglas is a guy that they found. Keyshawn Nixon, Bo Melton, Rick Wagner, Devondre Campbell. They've had a pretty good track record of finding these sort of castaways that haven't fit anywhere else. Rasul Douglas is such a phenomenal example. Rasul bounced around everywhere and could not find a home. Got cut a couple times before they signed him off a practice squad. Green Bay finds him on a practice squad and he comes in and immediately makes an impact, and they eventually trade him for a third round pick. That's the shining example of this. So if Green Bay's personnel department feels like there's something there, then I get it. I understand it. And I'm certainly willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. And as I mentioned, as long as this is a minimal, no guaranteed money sort of deal, it is a perfectly fine and arguably a perfectly smart move for Green Bay. This was, in fact, a first round pick. And it wasn't just me who liked him as a first round pick. The Eagles took him in the first round. And if they didn't, some other team was likely going to. At worst, he was going to be a very early second round pick. That talent, the intangibles, the pass protection, the quick feet, all those things that showed up on tape in college are still prevalent within Andre Dillard as a potential player. It just, he has not shown the ability to settle down and actually play at any sort of high level in the NFL. But as I mentioned, Green Bay has found and developed players like this in the past, and they deserve the opportunity to try to find a player like this and see if they can somehow unlock the potential that was always there. And if it is a completely no risk with some reward type of move, awesome. I'm totally cool with that. And the other thing I'll say here too is, the one thing that Green Bay might have going for them that both the Eagles and the Titans did not is that this is last chance you for Andre Dillard. This is it. Meaning when he was with Philly, he was a first round pick. There's a little bit of entitlement that comes with that. When he goes to the Titans, they sign him to a huge deal. They give him huge guaranteed money. They make him the starter. There's a little bit of an entitlement that comes with that. Now he has to work. he has to work really for the first time in his career if he wants anything. If not, he's cut and he might not get another chance in the NFL legitimately. So this is it for Dillard. This is now the time. It's now or never. If he wants to continue to get NFL paychecks, and if he wants to maybe show one really good season so he might actually get even another free agent contract next year, this is it. So it's now or never for Dillard. And this is the first time he's been in that position. That could be the one thing that's really going in Green Bay's favor here. And I will say one more thing here is that in order for this to pay off for Green Bay, they don't necessarily need to have him hit like a first round offensive tackle because they're paying him very minimal. Go back to the 2021 Eagles tape with Dillard. It wasn't great, all right? But it was fine. It was fine. PFF gave him a 69.6 grade on 340 snaps. For comparison's sake, Yosh Nijman's best season was a 63.1 on 448 snaps. Dillard, despite all of his struggles, despite all of his issues, despite all of it, had a better singular season than Yosh Nijman ever did in Green Bay. That is worth noting because what you're hoping Andre Dillard can do is come in and be Yosh Nijman. That's all you really are asking him to be. Can you come in, be a swing offensive tackle for 300 to 400 snaps a season if needed and not suck? That's what we're asking. You don't have to be good. You don't have to even be good. You just have to kind of be meh slash average and make it so that we don't have to change our offense entirely when you're in the game. Can you find a way to just do that? The bar is pretty low here. So if he can go back to 2021 Dillard, where it was fine, it was meh, it wasn't great, it wasn't good, but it was fine. You are paying for fine and you will take fine. You will take a replacement level starter along the offensive line in an injury situation. That's what you're looking for out of Dillard. And he does have that season on tape. So just be 2021 Andre Dillard. And this move will pay off, assuming that it is, again, that minimum deal. So that's what you're hoping for, that Yosh Nijman at a cheaper cost. Like I said, I like the move. I think there's a very minimal risk and a potential reward here. And I'll say it one more time. This does not change anything in the draft for Green Bay. And I know some people are like, and you may be listening to this and be like, Andy, you're usually maybe, you know, pretty positive on these things and you seem not so positive on this one. Hopefully the ending here goes on to explain like why I'm more for it and why I would have done this exact same deal if I was Green Bay. I just want to be realistic here because I got burnt on Andre Dillard when he was a rookie. And I already saw a lot of excitement on Twitter. They got a first round pick and this is going to be great. They found their swing tackle. I just want to be realistic about it. Buyer beware. There were Titans fans that were saying that, like, literally that the Packers roster got worse by making this move. That's how poorly he played, and that's the impact that he made on Titans fans. Because what happens? You see a first-round pick, and everyone gets excited on Twitter, and everyone's happy about the move, and then he gets in a game, and he blows. And everyone immediately is like, this guy effing sucks. I hate this guy. We just need to have realistic expectations. If you're going in thinking that this is going to be a big time signing for Green Bay and they found their big time depth piece and now they don't have to go, maybe you can even compete with Rashid Walker and they don't have to draft someone in the first round now, I would just temper your expectations is all I'm trying to say. Like the move, understand the move, would have done the move, but just have a little of buyer beware here because he has not had a good NFL career up until this point. Not negative, not positive, just realistic with Andre Dillard. And hopefully, for the second time, Andre Dillard can prove me wrong. The first time, when I thought he was going to be great, and he has not been great. Now, when I'm saying, look out, this is not the guy that you probably think he is. Now, hopefully, he goes out, now that he's a Packer, and crushes it and has the best season of his career. I would be all on board for that. All right, Dillard put aside, let's go over some of these top 30 visits on the offensive side of the ball. They've had far fewer reported offensive visits than they had defensive visits. So we will go over the defensive visits on its own episode on Sunday. So make sure to look forward to that. But just in case you're unaware, as of late, and really in the Gutekunst era, these have been pretty telling. Top 30 visits have been pretty telling. In 2023, Dontavian Wicks was in for a top 30 visit. Lou Nichols, Ben Sims, Kadeem Telfort, Cameron McDonald, who you may not remember, but was an undrafted free agent for Green Bay. Didn't stick around very long, but he was there. And Carl Brooks. So Wicks, Nichols, Sims, Telfort, McDonald, and Carl Brooks. Six players in their top 30 visits last year all ended up on the team at one time or another. In 2022, Tariq Carpenter, Samori Toure, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Rashid Walker, Romeo Doubs, Benji Franklin, who you might not remember, but did have a cup of coffee on the Packers practice squad as well. Gene DeLance, same thing. Eight players on their top 30 visits that year ended up becoming a Packer at one point or another. In 2021, none of them did. So you don't always know, but as of late, it's been more telling, but in 2021, it was not. In 2020, their first round pick, Jordan Love, top 30 visit. Their third round pick, Josiah DeGuara, top 30 visit. In 2019, Jay Sternberger. Andre Dillard, who we just talked about, wasn't a draft pick for Green Bay, but guess what? He's on the roster now. Curtis Bolton was an undrafted free agent. Randy Ramsey was an undrafted free agent. Kadar Hallman they drafted, and John Lovett was a guy they picked up later, I think a year after, if I remember correctly. But those all became Green Bay Packers. And in 2018, Kendall Donerson was a draft pick. Oren Burks was a draft pick. Jamon Moore was a draft pick. MVS was a draft pick. And our favorite, Tim Boyle, was an undrafted free agent. So top 30 visits have had a pretty good track record of becoming Green Bay Packers at some point. So you may want to pay a little closer attention to these players and their scouting reports, because there is a pretty decent chance that some of these guys are going to become Green Bay Packers. Maybe not drafted, maybe undrafted, maybe 4 years from now in free agency, maybe a random practice squad call up in the middle of some season, who knows? But there is a good chance that a handful of these guys are going to become Packers at some point. Let's start with Amarius Mims, 6'7", 340-pound offensive tackle out of Georgia, 9.59 relative athletic score. Is he a Packers type? He didn't do the agility testing, so we don't have the agility scores that they usually like. But other than that, yes, although he is a little bit on the bigger side than what they normally look for. He's currently the 23rd rated prospect on the consensus draft board, had a 75.6 grade on 297 snaps in 2023, has 130 career special team snaps. His fit would be likely as a right tackle. Of course, then we have to get into the Zach Tom conversation, which we've had before, but in all likelihood, if they were to draft him, they would be looking at him as a long-term right tackle, and then Green Bay would have to make that decision. Is Zach Tom a right guard? Is he a center? Those would be the things that would have to come in time. It probably wouldn't be right away. My guess is Zach Tom would stay at right tackle to begin with, and Mims would develop. But once Mims is ready to take over, maybe next season, the goal would be for Josh Myers not to resign, and then Zach Tom to move to center at that point, and Mims to become the starter in 2025. The scouting report, he is a mammoth offensive tackle, has had some injury issues. Technique-wise, he will overset and get too aggressive, which leaves him lunging at air and just a little bit off balance too often. When he gets squared and he is under control, he's phenomenal. Basically putting it this way, when he does his job, when he gets out into his pass set, he gets squared to the defender and gets his hands out on the defender, he wins. Like, you're just not beating him far more often than not. It's up to Mims. If he wants to win and he does what he's supposed to on the play, he's arguably going to win the vast majority of the time. His pass sets are clean. He has unreal speed for his size. The strength is there. He plays with leverage. He plays with balance. He has a really good anchor. He is a big time, in my opinion, right tackle prospect. And I even said he has some Tristan Wirfs to his game. His expected draft position, if he wants to play in Green Bay, they're probably going to have to take him at pick 25. He could be gone at that point. I think if they try to move down, he will absolutely be gone. So if Green Bay wants him, he will have to last to 25, and then Green Bay would have to take him at pick 25. Next top 30 visit, Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle, Oklahoma, 6'7", 322. Again, a little bit on the bigger side, 9.73 relative athletic score. He is a complete Packers type, a little bit on the bigger side, but I don't think that's going to be a deal breaker. Consensus 30 on the big board right now, so he's 30th overall on the consensus big board. Had a 63.7 grade on 663 snaps in 2023 per PFF. Has 135 career special team snaps. His fit, same as Amarius Mims, possible starting right tackle. Could potentially be a swing tackle as well. I do think he has some ability to play on the left side. Maybe he could play a little bit guard, but I don't think that's his ideal position. So once again, you're probably developing him for a year, giving him hopefully that redshirt season if you don't have to play him. And then probably Josh Myers walks, Zach Tom goes to center, and Guyton goes to right tackle at that point. His scouting report, extremely athletic. He's always attacking, always looking for work, has a great play demeanor. He plays like he's mad at the player across from him. Has great recovery ability. He's able to move all over the field, moves like a tight end in space. Will need to add some bulk, and he needs to anchor a little bit better. It's tough for those 6'7 guys to play with leverage. It's tough for them to get down in their knees, although I do think he does, for his size, a pretty good job getting down in his knees. He needs to keep the attacking down a little bit. He will overextend himself and he will get into trouble. He has elite traits. He should develop as a high-end offensive tackle in this league. I do think he maybe, again, has a little bit of versatility, maybe being able to go to the left side, but overall, I think his best position is right tackle. Once again, if Green Bay wants to draft him, you're probably looking at pick 25 or a slight trade down in the draft in some capacity. So that's probably what you're looking for there. All right, next up, next visit, wide receiver Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. 6'1", 196, a 9.09 relative athletic score. He is mostly a Packers type. He didn't do the three cone, so we don't have the testing there. He doesn't quite hit their production that they like. So usually they like high production players at wide receiver. Doesn't quite hit that. He's consensus 86th on the big board overall. 79.7 grade per PFF this past season on 545 snaps. Only has 6 career special team snaps, however. His fit with Green Bay is good luck finding snaps. And this is more of like a just keep the young receivers coming and you'll figure out the rest later. This would be a great room for him because he is somebody that's had a little bit of concerns with coaching and things like that. I think he would take to this room well, and you would have an established room of young guys that are battling each other already there. So I think this would be a good room for Burton to come into, but it's going to be tough to find snaps for any rookie coming into this wide receiver room with the depth they already have at the position. His scouting report has undeniable talent, fantastic speed, knows how to vary his speeds within the route, watches 2 touchdowns against Texas to see just the type of playmaker that he can become. One, run after the catch playmaking ability. The other, downfield speed, big time down the field throw playmaking ability. He knows how to sell routes and gain separation. 20.5 yards per catch in 2023 in the SEC at Alabama. 20.5 yards per reception. 23 touchdowns in his career to only 4 drops. However, never had more than 40 catches in a season, never had more than 798 yards, so never even hit 800 yards in a season. So there's some questions about his productivity. There's some questions about his focus and his maturity. Has no special teams ability. And if you're bringing somebody in that's probably going to have to start as like the 6th wide receiver in Green Bay, you'd ideally like them to have a little bit of special teams experience, and he does not have that. If Green Bay wants to take him, you're likely looking at the 3rd round if they want to take a chance on him. And Green Bay, sometimes when they do have those 2 third round picks, they will take a little bit more of a chance there. So maybe somebody they could take a look at there if he's available in the late 3rd round, but that's probably where they'd have to take him. Next up, offensive lineman Zach Zinter out of Michigan, 6'5", 309 pounds. He did not do any testing because he's had some injury issues. Because there's no testing, we don't really know if he's going to be a Packers type or not. He did not play any tackle. He's like a guard only. So usually they like that versatility or an interior player who played on tackle in the past. He does not have that. He's 113 on the consensus big board, 76.6 grade and 649 snaps in 2023 per PFF, and only 44 career special team snaps. Although for offensive linemen, that's not super unheard of. His fit in Green Bay is he would come in and likely challenge Sean Ryan for that right guard spot. I would give the nod to Sean Ryan, but I do think Zinter could come in and at least compete a little bit, more likely to be a depth piece in his rookie season. The great thing about Zinter is he is a phenomenal mover, very clean on the move. And especially when he's pulling, he looks awesome and he gets to his spot on the field and seals really, really well. Stays on balance and gets square to the defender, shows off the full ability as a run blocker. He can down block, he can double team, he can get to the second level, he can pull, he can do a little bit of everything. So he really showcases himself in that regard. Not a surprise coming out of Michigan. Super impressive as a puller, as I mentioned. Needs to be much more aware on twists and stunts. He struggled with that a little bit. Was a team captain, did break his tibia and fibula late in the season. So that's going to have to be something that they monitor and probably why they brought him in for a top 30 visit. He's likely just a guard in the NFL. Don't think he has center or tackle versatility, but had 0 sacks allowed and 0 penalties in 2024. His expected draft position, probably 4th round if Green Bay wanted to get him at that spot. Running back Ray Davis out of the University of Kentucky, 5'8", 211, 5.41 relative athletic score. Doesn't quite hit the relative athletic score threshold, doesn't quite hit the broad jump threshold, but other than that, does test out as a Packers type. He's 114th on the consensus big board, had an 87.5 grade in 2023 on 574 snaps, only 16 career special team snaps though, so really no special teams value. His fit in Green Bay would immediately be a really fun change of pace running back to back up Josh Jacobs and potentially AJ Dillon, dependent upon how they view Dillon and if he remains on the roster going into the season. The scouting report for Ray Davis Runs behind his pads really well. Super, super shifty in the open field. Probably gets a little bit too bouncy and looks to get outside a little bit too often. But man, can he cut on a dime and can he really break some ankles and make some people miss? He had a play, I want to say it's against Georgia maybe, but like, or it was Florida, I think. And the guy comes in and like just looked like he broke both of his ankles. Like it was unreal. You see some of that from Davis on tape where he will absolutely break some ankles. Really good vision, good patience when needed. Great screen and check down back, and also has some receiving chops out of the backfield on some wheel routes. Knows when to put his head down and just get some yards. Finds escape routes like no other. Like he will find ways, like it's not quite Aaron Jones-esque, but he has that ability to, there's nothing there, but he somehow Houdini's it and finds ways to get positive yards out of it. Ridiculous pinball ability. I mean, like you will see him just like literally pinball through a line to a level that very few have possessed that I've seen from a scouting standpoint. 12 runs of 20 plus yards in 2023, 7 receiving touchdowns in 2023. His pass pro needs a lot of work. He turns 25 this season. Talk about being overaged. He turns 25 this season. And like I said, no real special teams ability. Expected draft position probably somewhere between the third and fifth rounds. Next up, offensive tackle Giovanni Manu, or Manu. He is out of British Columbia, 6'8", 352, no relative athletic score. Not sure if he's a Packers type. He's consensus 348 on the consensus draft board. The fit here would be a redshirt season, probably an undrafted free agent type, and probably just needing probably two redshirt seasons, to be honest. I did not have tape of him, so this is from fully from Dane Brugler and his scouting report. Quote, he enrolled at the University of British Columbia and earned the starting left tackle job as a freshman. He was a four-year starter for the Thunderbirds, also seeing time at guard. His unpolished tendencies are easy to spot on tape. He plays too narrow and off balance in the run game with late hands and pass pro, but he moves really well for his size, especially out in space, and punishes anyone in his way. Overall, Manu isn't NFL ready, but is a highly intriguing developmental tackle with rare athletic tools that might get him drafted. Expected draft position, 7th round to priority undrafted free agent. He is also a former basketball player. Two left. All right. Next up is offensive lineman Donovan Jennings out of the University of Southern Florida. 6'4", 323, a 9.65 relative athletic score at guard, which is where he's going to move in the NFL. He is a Packers type all day, every day. So keep a real eye on Donovan Jennings as either a 7th round pick or an undrafted free agent. I think there's a very good chance that Jennings becomes a Packer. 352 on the consensus draft board, a 72.8 grade on 812 snaps in 2023, and 91 career special team snaps. He's a back of the roster offensive lineman for Green Bay right now, but I do think there's some upside there. He's an extremely athletic guard who used to play left tackle and will now move inside to guard. He's an easy mover, but needs to stay much more balanced and overall needs to get much more technical in everything he does. Would like to see him play with a little bit more of a nasty demeanor. Does show off a few tricks. He had this really great just sort of snatch move where he just kind of snatched and ripped him to the ground. So you see a couple things like that from Jennings that just sort of stand off the tape a little bit. I thought he looked much better and just more natural as a guard when he played there in the Shrine Bowl, but you could also tell he was very rusty having not played there for a few seasons. And you know, he's barely played there at all in his career, but I do think he's going to be a much better guard moving forward than he was a tackle. I think some team's going to take a chance on the traits, and he just really needs to clean up the technical side of things. And he also will be 25 this upcoming season, turning 25 in November. Expected draft position here, 7th round to priority undrafted free agent. Last up is quarterback Gavin Hardison of the University of Texas El Paso, 6'1", 206, a 4.86 relative athletic score. Does not hit Green Bay's height targets, does not hit their weight targets, or their athleticism targets. So that's going to be probably a problem for Hardison. He is 504 on the consensus big board, had a 72.9 grade on 324 snaps in 2023. The fit here is a rookie camp tryout. If he would pass a rookie camp tryout, you probably compete with Alex Magoo for the number three spot on the practice squad is what you'd be looking for here. He shows some ability to get through his progressions on tape, needs much better pocket awareness, doesn't have an NFL caliber arm, puts good touch on the ball because he has to. He doesn't have the arm to really do anything else, has some really bad decisions on tape. And like I said, is probably tapped out as a rookie camp tryout. Looks more of like a XFL, I know that's not alive, whatever the new league is, or like a CFL type quarterback to me, if anything, not really NFL caliber in my opinion. But Expected draft position, again, would just be a undrafted rookie tryout type player. So those are the offensive top 30 visits for Green Bay. Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, Jermaine Burton, Zach Zinter, Ray Davis, Giovanni Manu, Donovan Jennings, and Gavin Hardison. Keep a real close eye on Donovan Jennings as a seventh round or undrafted free agent for Green Bay. Ray Davis was probably one of my favorites to watch here. Zach Zinter, I think, could be another round four, round five guy for Green Bay. Don't expect them to go Burton, and Guyton and Mims could easily be in play for them in round one. All right, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope to see a few of you, if not more, at the Timber Rattlers game tonight. Of course, shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members. Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, and Alex Huang. Appreciate you guys a ton. I'll be right back here tomorrow with Ben Fennell on Saturday, and then Sunday we will finish up with our top 30 visits on the defensive side of the ball, which there are plenty of. Just to give you a teaser here, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Edrin Cooper, Marshawn Kneeland, Michael Hall Jr., Mason Smith, Austin Booker, Trevin Wallace, Jerrion Jones, Tyron Hopper, Christian Boyd, Ketan Oladapo, Jaquan Shepard, Akeem Dent, Omar Brown, Bryce Gallagher, and Del Pettis, and Chris Edmonds. So lots of guys to go over on Sunday. Already have broken down all of their tape and have their scouting reports ready. So looking forward to going over that. I'll see you guys soon. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.